On Tuesday, we start discussing ways to replace exact search in gradient methods. So we consider the Hermitian and the curvature conditions, which together are called Wolff conditions. So on the blackboard, if you have the condition we wrote down and discussed the other time. We have an xk and a direction and a descent direction dk, which are fixed. Actually, we ask this condition rather than the definition of being a descent direction. We ask the direction to have a negative scalar product with the gradient of at xk. And so the two conditions depend upon two fixed constant values, C1 and C2. The first condition by Hermitian is telling you, since this term is negative, that we want the decrease at the new point to be of a certain amount, at least. I showed you an example in which just asking for a direction to be a descent direction, you go down, you keep going down, but you don't get to a minimum or a stationary point in the limit. We wrote down the condition also exploiting the search function. So since xk and dk are fixed, it is a function of the step size t, and you take the values that the function takes when f takes when you move away from xk along direction dk with a step size t. And so we can write down the Hermitian condition in this way. We discuss the picture since it's a function of one variable. Here we have the value of the function at t is less or equal than the value of the function at 0 plus c1 times t times the derivative of the search function at 0. Okay? Because the derivative is exactly this term, because in general it is this term for a generic t. Okay? And thanks to this formulation, we notice that if t is small enough, then the Hermitian condition is satisfied. We also discussed the fact that since this right-hand side goes to minus infinity as t goes to plus infinity because this is negative, and this is fixed, this is fixed, this is fixed and negative, and this goes to plus infinity, then this would mean that f is unbounded by below. So from a certain point onwards, Hermitian condition cannot be satisfied. So it is satisfied if t is small enough, so we have an interval of values from 0 to some tau in which it's satisfied, and then there's a big value after which the condition cannot be satisfied if f is bounded by below. But since we notice that very small step sizes can lead to troubles or slow convergence, what was one of the trouble of the exact gradient methods. The successive directions were orthogonal, so you were moving along a zigzag trajectory, and steps were very small. Well, also when you were far from a stationary point, if sublevel sets were pretty narrow. The Rosenbrock banana function was the example which we've seen on Tuesday. So we discuss an additional condition which prevents the step size to be too small, which is the curvature condition. It's a condition on the gradients and the direction. This scalar product has to be greater or equal than C2 times this scalar product. Or if you write it in terms of the search function, the derivative of the search function at t must be at least c2 times the derivative at zero. Okay, and C2 is a number between one and zero. This means that somehow must be the derivative at t must be a bit different from the derivative at zero. And since f is continuously differentiable, the derivative of the search function is continuous, so this goes, the derivative at t goes to the derivative at zero if t goes to zero. So they are very close if t is small enough, but we don't want them to be close. This prevents them to be too close, so the curvature condition is not satisfied in an interval around zero. Okay? If the step is too small, it can't be satisfied. Okay? I guess this is what we discussed the other time. And so I want you to show you a couple of things. First, that indeed a step size done satisfying the wall conditions, these two conditions, exists, and then that we can exploit them to do a good gradient method. So the goal for today is to show these two things. So first, I give you the result about the work condition. Let's suppose that our function f to be minimized is bounded by below. Okay? We discussed that if this assumption is not satisfied, then the problem is unbounded by below, and the minimum value does not exist. The problem goes to as values going to minus infinity. So it's not for free, but it is a very reasonable assumption. Then, clearly, let's suppose that our current point xk is not a stationary point. For f, and obviously then dk is let's say satisfies the sufficient condition to be at the same direction. Okay? Then there exists two values, let's say tau L and tau U, with tau U bigger than tau L, such that any step size t in the interval, in the closed interval, tau L, tau U, satisfies the Wolf conditions which I abbreviated with the names AJO and CUR. Okay. So this proposition is telling us that such a step size exists, and the proof I'm giving you is pretty simple. We will exploit the Wolf condition written through the search function. So we will do some computation on a function of one variable. Okay? The proof is a bit different from the one you can find on my old Italian lecture notes, but it's clearly the one you're going to find on the current lecture notes. Okay? I changed it because I found this to be a bit easier, okay, and use less tools. So let's define this number, which will be tau u, as the supremum of the set of real numbers tau, such that the Wolf, the Hermitian condition is satisfied by any t belonging to the interval 0 tau. So Hermitian condition is satisfied by any positive t which is less or equal than tau. Okay? And then we take the supremum of all these tau's. Okay? So, we know that our Hermitian condition is satisfied at least if we are close to zero. Okay? Whenever t is close enough to zero, our Hermitian condition is satisfied. We proved it last Tuesday. So this set is non-empty because there is at least one tau. Okay. The proof was by simple was simply by continuity. So this is non-empty. The tau is positive, so the tau 1 is greater than 0. And also, as I recalled you a few minutes ago, it is not possible for our initial condition to hold if t is too large. Otherwise, the function would go to minus infinity, which is not the case. So this is greater than 0, but it is not plus infinity. Okay? So we have these two properties. Actually, we have a third property. For each tau, we have that our Hermitian condition is satisfied. So phi tau is less or equal than phi at zero plus c one times tau phi prime at zero for any of these taus. Okay. This is the supremum, so this is works for any tau in this set. You take the limit as tau goes to the supremum, so this is true also for the supremum. Okay. Could it be that this inequality is strict at the supremum? Oh, this is not possible. Why? Suppose this is smaller than this. Okay. Or write it also this way, if you like it better. This is negative. All of this as a function of t of tau is continuous and it's negative at the point. If it is negative, it is negative also if you take the same point plus some small perturbation. Okay? So, our Hermitian condition would be satisfied not only from 0 to tau u, but also for something bigger and for some bigger value. So, it couldn't be the supremum. Okay? It can be the supremum only if this is 0. So if here we have equality. We don't have equality, by continuity you can move after tau to a smaller enough bigger value and still have the condition satisfied. So it cannot be an inequality, it must be the equality at the supremum point. And I will use this relation in a moment. Then it is the supremum of a set of real numbers. It means that I can find arbitrary close enough points which are bigger than tau u, which do not satisfy Armijo, otherwise it wouldn't be the supremum. So, by definition of supremus, I have a sequence of, let's say, tj, with j from 1 to plus infinity, such that tj is greater than, sorry, than tau u, tau j goes to converge to tau u as j goes to plus infinity, and our initial condition is not satisfied at tj. Okay? This is simply stating that tau j is the supremum of that set. Okay? You can take arbitrary close enough bigger values such that that condition does not hold. What does it mean that the condition does not hold? Let's write it. It means that phi at tj must be greater than phi at zero plus c1 times tj times phi at phi prime at zero. Okay? A measure condition does not hold at that point. Okay. Now, we can replace this, the search function at zero, as a zero from the expression we get from here. Okay? We can replace it, so we have, we replace it, so we have phi of tau u minus c1 tau u phi prime at zero plus c1 tj phi prime at zero. Okay, I'm never saying k, I'm never saying k just to be short, but I always write it. Okay, okay, let's make it also, we can turn it this way. And just, let's say, doing an obvious algebraic step. It's clear? Well, now, tj is greater than tau u, so I can divide both by tj minus tau u. Okay? So now I can take the limit as j goes to plus infinity. If I take the limit, here I will get greater or equal. This is a constant value. Okay. This sequence is always greater than that value. So if you take the limit, if the limit exists, it's greater or equal than this value. Okay. What is this limit? Tj goes to tau u. And above you have the difference of the search function computed at the two points. This is the derivative. So this is nothing else than the derivative of the search function at tau u.
Okay? So we prove that the derivative of the search function of tau u is greater than, you know, is greater or equal than c1 times the derivative of zero. Now, you are almost done. The proof is almost over.
Let's go to the curvature condition. Okay? We have C2. C2 is greater than C1. Okay? And this derivative is zero.
I recall you that
the derivative is this. Okay? So C2 is greater than C1 and the derivative is smaller than zero. So this is greater than C2 times the derivative of zero. Okay? If this would be positive, you would have the reverse sign. Okay? Since it's negative, and you are increasing this value, you get smaller. Okay? If you multiply minus 1 by 2, you get minus 2, which is smaller. So, notice, I'm no longer interested in this. I'm interested in this. The derivative of tau u is greater than the derivative, than c2 times, sorry, the derivative at zero. Now, we know that this derivative is a continuous function. Since it's greater at this point, it's greater or equal in a neighborhood of the point. Okay? So this by continuity of the derivative is continuous, phi prime at t is greater or equal than c2 times phi prime at zero whenever t belongs, let's say, to tau u minus delta, tau u plus delta for some appropriate positive delta. So, by continuity, there exists a delta such that this inequality holds at every t in this interval. By continuity. Okay? It's nothing but continuity. Well, what is this? This is the curvature condition. So, what are we having? Our initial condition is valid from zero to tau u. Okay? Here, our initial condition is true. We just check that curvature condition is satisfied in this interval. Okay? So, our initial condition is satisfied here. Tau u minus delta, tau u plus delta. Okay? So, both are satisfied here. When t is greater or equal than tau u minus delta and less or equal than tau u. Okay? So, if we call this tau l, we proved the theorem. Okay? Just name it tau l. We just proved that any t in this interval satisfies the Wolf conditions. Okay? So, we are sure that it is possible to find a step right satisfying both these conditions. Okay? I have an additional remark to make. Which is
I can state it. I don't know if it is exactly less. Well, actually, it's independent. It's independent, but it's not a corollary. I will use it as a corollary. Okay. Once again, I'm not writing them. Same assumption on the previous preposition. F is bounded by below. We are at a point which is not stationary, and we have the same direction satisfying that inequality. Then, if, in addition, we suppose that F is convex, then there exists tau L such that there is a positive tau L such that curvature condition is satisfied by any t which is greater or equal to tau L. I mean, we prove that in general it is satisfied on an interval, okay? But if the function is convex, it's satisfied from here to plus infinity. What is the proof? The proof is a property of convex function of one variable. Well, can I write it? By the previous proposition, we know that there exists a tau L at which curvature condition is satisfied. Okay. Is this one. Okay, so the proof of the proposition, by the previous proposition we know that there exists tau L such that curvature condition is satisfied after tau L, which means that the derivative of the search function of tau L is greater or equal than C2 times the derivative of zero. Okay? Now we exploit a property of convex functions. F is convex. Check by exercise that also the search function is convex as a function of one variable. Convex functions of one variable have this property. Well, their derivative is an increasing function. Okay. It means that if you compute the derivative at the point t1, which is greater then t2, then the function has at least the same value than at t1 than it has at t2. Okay? Well, this is weakly increasing, I would say.
This is really increasing.
But what we have is the regression.
Okay? But now we can use it here, because f is convex, so this is convex. So its derivative is increasing, so whenever you take t, which is greater than tau l, the derivative takes a larger value,
or at least the same value.
The same or a larger value. So we proved the statement. This is greater than this, that is greater than this. So t satisfies the curvature condition.
Is it clear? Do you have questions?
So we showed two things. The work conditions are satisfied on an interval, and in the convex case, we know that our initial condition is satisfied if t is small enough, and curvature condition is satisfied if t is large enough.
Okay,
and the two areas intersect.
So if I can draw a picture here for the convex case, it would be the following.
Let's draw the path line starting from zero, the path line of positive numbers. Okay? Our measure is satisfied from zero up to some value, which in the proof we call the tau u. Function is convex. Curvature condition is satisfied whenever t is greater or equal than tau l, and tau l is more than tau u.
Okay.
How would you design an algorithm to compute a step size which satisfies both conditions?
I'm asking you.
Okay. As a computer scientist, you should answer pretty easily. You want to find a point here, in this interval. And you know that one condition is satisfied here, and the other condition is satisfied here.
And let's say you have a tool to check whether, given a point, our measure condition holds and or curvature condition holds. How would you do it?
We are going to know if one condition is satisfied and the other condition is satisfied at that point, and we choose that step size can choose.
Yeah, but suppose in this situation, at least one of the tools.
Okay,
you want both to hold. Suppose just one is satisfied. Suppose you are here. Okay, you take, for instance, the double value, and you get here. Once again, Armijo is the unique condition which is satisfied. So you keep doubling.
Okay.
And now suppose, okay, this was not large enough. Suppose that the double is here.
So, curvature condition is satisfied, our measure condition is not satisfied.
Yeah, then you have the previous point, the current point, in the in the previous point you had Hermitian, in the second point you have curvature condition, so you know that the interval in which both are satisfied is closed in this large interval. So you take the midpoint. And let's say you are lucky, you are done. If you are not lucky, you continue bisecting the interval, okay? So at each iteration you keep an interval. Let's say the first is 0 plus infinity, okay? Or you choose a starting point. And then if Hermitian is satisfied, you move in this direction. If curvature is satisfied and Hermitian not, you move in the other direction, for instance choosing the middle point between two successive iterations. And in a finite number of steps, you will find a step size satisfying both. Okay? In this case, it's obvious, okay? That it works, it is obvious. Well, the same procedure works also in the case in which f is not convex. So, in the case in which curvature is satisfied on an interval, done that way, okay? You just have to find a point here, and then you can start bisecting the interval. Okay? So, this pretty easy technique is called backtracking. Okay? The proof that it works in the general case is not so obvious, okay? In the convex case it's pretty obvious. In the general case it's not obvious because, well, it might be also that Hermitian is satisfied here, but it also could be satisfied for, let's say, some points here. And curvature is satisfied in that interval, but it might be also satisfied here. You have more complex situations to analyze than the situation in the convex case. But you can prove that the backtracking algorithm works. Okay? So we have the following. We have a pair of conditions to compute a step size. We have a technique to compute this step size. So we can make a new type of gradient method, okay? And the method is the following. You start from a point, at the general iteration you have a point xk, somehow you choose a descent direction satisfying this condition, you compute a step satisfying the Hermitian and the curvature condition, and you move into this new point. And you iterate. Okay? So, let's take 5 minutes break and then we'll discuss this algorithm and its properties.